All right, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What an amazing crowd here today. So the song Daniel Namad that we just heard, one of the thoughts that I had with that was doing this, doing in preparation for talk today on the untapped powers of the self. You know, it focused on, you know, being mystical, psychic. It focused on, you know, things that I completely forgot that were totally inclusive in Ernest Holmes' Science of Mind's talks and writings. And so it just reminded me that sometimes, you know, we get so caught up that we forget the unity and the oneness of things that we're not even thinking about. So, for example, he talked about spirituality. Mm-hmm. Well, what is spirituality, right? We are all spirit. We are all God. We are all whole and in one. And if we are spirit, then our lives are spiritual. Mm-hmm. We live and are spiritual. And so it's just, you know, things like that that just kind of reminded me to unplug from our day-to-day grind and kind of get back into who we truly are, mm-hmm. you know, being in that one. And so the untapped, well, it's untapped powers in the self, focused, as I mentioned, on the light that we are, the spirituality that we are. It even focused on aura, which I'm so glad Felicia is here, so she can talk a little bit in the next half of our conversation. Talked about mystical. I'm so glad Connie is here. It talked about psychic, and I wish Brittany was here. You know, and it talked about everything. And I know David would have something special to talk about because you are such a light in this world. And it talked about light, so you are light. So that those are your assignments being in the boardroom today. All right. But, you know, in the beginning, you know, as per the Bible, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And as we know, the Word was God. Well, what is this Word? It turns out that this Word is I Am, right? Mm-hmm. And if it is I Am, this I Am is the Word. This I Am is the world. This I Am is in the beginning and in the end. This I Am is definitely transformative. And as we speak the Word from the I Am-ness of ourselves, then our world opens and our world manifests. And we bring the things we speak of into every moment. And so I'm going to first go to, thank you, you can turn off. I'm going to first go to Science of Mind, page 68, and number 3, which is the paragraph 3. So the Word of God means the power of spirit to declare itself into manifestation, into form. The Word means the self-contemplation of spirit, the manifest universe as we see it, as well as the invisible universe, which must also exist. It is the result of self-contemplation of God. And it continues that he spake and it was done. The Word was with God and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So the starting point of all creation is the word of spirit. And so this is a big deal because it just brings to us the fullness of who we are and the powerfulness of who we are and the perfect presence of, you know, where we are, what we are, and how we literally cohabitate and co-inspire and, you know, and contemplate things into our manifestation interrelationally and by ourselves individually. All right, and so it was a joy to read about the fact that the I Am started it all. But then the I Am sort of, he talked about the spirituality of the I Am, since that God is all spirit and that we are also spirit. And as we talked about having spiritual experiences, and the different spiritual experiences is what I'm going to kind of touch on a little bit. So Ernest Holmes, he talked about that spiritual experience is a fact. Spirituality may be defined as an atmosphere of good, the realization of God. It cannot and does not borrow its light from another, no matter how great or noble that other person may be. It springs from within. Ooh. Coming from that never-failing fountain of life, which quenches every thirst, whose source is in eternity, the wellspring of self-existence. Spirituality is a revelation of the self to the self, putting one back on track of his own self-dependence on spirit and putting him back on his own at-one-ment with reality. Mm-hmm. Hence, unplug. You know, when we unplug from the fact that, you know, it has to be done a certain way. And when we unplug from the thoughts and perceptions that may seem very disjointed, and we are struggling to make things work, and the more we struggle is the less things are happening, or the more we see things that we don't want to bring into effect. And so Ernest reminded us that spirituality comes truly from within. Mm-hmm. So if it comes from within, then the struggle should be none to non-existent, because it's a flow, it's a free, easy flow. And this is where, when it comes to, and I'm going to go to mental distress a little bit as well, because mental distress, it to me is a discordance with who we truly are. It's a discordance from having a feeling of full and total well-being to having thoughts that interrupt that feeling, or that feels. It interrupts that feeling of goodness. And so we go from a state of ease and goodness and grace to a state of discordant feelings. And how does discordant feelings show up in the world? It shows up as feeling anxious. It shows up as distress. It shows up as anger. It shows up as a lot of emotions that we call negative emotions, but those emotions kind of, you know, strive from just being against our good feelings of calm, of grace, of where the I Am is, that feeling of that all is well feeling. Mm. It's all well, and that's where we try to get ourselves back into a place of it's all wellness. And where does that is all wellness arrive from? We come back to the same feeling of this feels good. Mm-hmm. This is where I want to be. This is where I want to stay. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's our the spirituality of ourselves is the fact that we will always be that source of eternity, and eternity never ends. Mm-hmm. And if eternity never ends, then that which we are never ends as well. All right? So I just wanted to reread that. It is a revelation of the self to the self, putting one back on track of his own self-dependence on spirit and his own at-one-ment with reality. Mm. Your own at-one-ment with reality. Only me and me and me alone can know what spirituality is, coming from my at-one-ment with reality. You would have your own at-one-ment, and you will know where that goes for you. All right, and that's where we move into our mystical nature, or being a mystic. All right, so Ernest talked about spirituality is a fact, and there are many different experiences emanating from our spirituality, from our eternalness. All right, and part of that is being mystic. So he said, a mystic is not a mysterious person, which I always thought was, not now, but I always thought, ooh, you know, to be in the presence of a mystic was a big deal. And it is. I have Miss Connie here. It is a big deal. All right. So a mystic is not a person, not a mysterious person, but is one who has a deep inner sense of life and of his unity and her unity with the whole. A mystic is one who intuitively receives and perceives truth and, without mental processes, arrive at spiritual realization. And he went on to talk about mystics being illumined souls. And I'm going to read it from this one. So the mystics, or those who were illumined, have all had an experience in common. They have seen the cosmic light. All right. So he talked about the light in an earlier part, which I'm going to go back to. But that is why it is said that they were illumined. They have all had much the same experience, whether it was Moses coming down from the mountain, whether it was Jesus after the resurrection, whether it was Saul on his return to Damascus, or whether it was Plotinus, who was, according to his pupils, had seven distinct periods of illumination. So part of the mysticism is that they, and you can tell me if this is true, Miss Connie, they really see a cosmic light. They operate in light. It is like maybe, and I can be corrected, but there had been an occurrence where a visualization or a dream or a vision of light, and generally that may have been either confirmation or a starting point of the journey as a person who can sense the light not only in themselves but can sense the light in others, regardless of where that person is in terms of how they feel about themselves. Mm-hmm. And so the light, fortunately, is always on in everyone, mm-hmm. but not everyone knows that the light is always on. And so it's in moving into that space of that mystical sense of illumination that a mystic is able to kind of move forward and move into, and I'm going to use the word, a loving space, and hold that light for others. Mm-hmm. A mystic also, and they talked about this in the book, that a mystic could see light in other things, in that are not human. You know, you can see light in animals, you can see light in flowers. I think it even talked about seeing light in bricks or something. But it said now this light is, I'm not sure, I didn't exactly pinpoint it, but let's go back here. So now this light is real. There is such a light at the center of everything. During the ordinary course of affairs, without attempting to, you might see this light. So someday you may look up and there it is, the substance eternal, falling so fine that you think it will drift across the sands of time and enclose all objects. I think he talked about the drizzling of light as well. And I always remember Kani talking about the kaleidoscope of light. You know, a few years ago, you that was a big deal for you. You always used the word explosions of light and kaleidoscopes of light. And since then, you've had another book since that time. But I always remember and link you to light. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that mystics operate via seeing the light, and I'm sure the light is the well-being of all men. Symbolically, we must think a lot about light. I do not know exactly how to put it in words, but everything must become light in a mystic's point of view. There is nothing outside this light. Everything exists in it. Even though it may not appear to exist, it is there just the same. So this is when our eyes are covered, we don't realize our own light, others see it. It also talks about the fact that when like something goes wrong or like a mistake they talk about, and this mistake is, we see it as darkness. If a mystic approaches this, they would approach a mistake as switching the light on, and everything is erased. There is no mistake, and it's just bringing our attention to the light that is within us. And somewhere in the Science of Mind, I was reading where if you have one mistake and then another mistake, just going back to correct one of the mistakes erases all mistakes, because light is drawn to it. Mm-hmm. And that was very informative for me. That was one of my unplugged moments. Yeah. So some people have the ability to see, and this is where we go into light as aura. All right. So some people, okay, let me just keep reading this just so for continuity. There is a light at the center of everyone. This light is never obliterated, but it does seem that it's often obscured for various reasons. Jesus said to never put your light under a bushel, but to let that light shine. On occasion, you might be looking at someone and suddenly see him enveloped in light. At least this is the way it would appear to you. That's you. But he is always in the light, only that you have not seen it before. Mm-hmm. So I'm still waiting to see a perfectly wonderful human being, even those lit ones, to see their light. I can envision it. I can intuitively know there is a light, but I don't see the light. So some people have the ability to see a person's aura, which is a light enveloping their body. It is said that it varies in color and in shape according to the habitual physical and emotional state. This light that encompasses everything can, to a certain extent, be photographed around the human body. And so this is where the aura comes in. But before I just close off with the mysticism, there are some people, even in our world, and obviously the past, that have been mystics. And Ernest Holmes named a few of them, like Robert Brangnan. People who write a lot, are also more inclined to be mystics, they were saying. Poetry, journals, books, visions, right? So Robert Browning, Tennyson, Woodward, Homer, Walt Whitman, I added in Jesus. I also added in like musical artists like Mozart, paintings from like Michelangelo, Rembrandt. These are all people that operated from a space of light. They literally embraced light in order to work, to do the work they did. So as we come to the aura, aura are basically another form of light, and I'm looking to you now, Miss Felicia. Looking at you now, because it was the last time I was here that you took the time and you drew all this wonderful circles and showed me where the chakras were, and although we didn't go into the extent of what the colors mean, here it is that I've unplugged, and now I'm seeing all this this aspect of us, and so it's also a form of seeing light in others, and you know, not everyone can see another person's aura. And it takes special eyes, I guess, special connection to be able to read a person's aura. So, you know, they talked about having our lives literally cover up our light. And some people you can see a lot of light, and some people you can see just a little opening. And it's not that our lives, meaning our clothing or so, but sometimes it's just the amount of living that we do and the stresses we go through and the thoughts we kind of hold on to that may make us feel that, you know, we are not that. And it just takes, again, special people to even recognize that there is just like a halo that they can pick up that, yes, you do have light. Mm-hmm. However, it's the heaviness of the body material, whatever it is, that can cause us to not feel that we are what that is, which is light. It also says that we should consider ourselves as the altar. So they talked about an altar that has light constantly coming through it. And in his writing said, we should consider ourselves as an altar where there is light within ourselves as well as everything else. And he said, just as Moses saw the bush give light, so may you. And they talked somewhere else where the really it wasn't a fire. Moses saw light within this inanimate, although it's a plant, but he saw light within it. Mm-hmm. And called it the burning bush. But that was a very special talent, being a mystic, that he was able to see light in everything. And so, although it was not, this was not an illusion, it was a reality for Moses. At the center of everything, there is fire, mm-hmm. celestial fire, caught from heaven. Oh. How amazing. So every bush would ablaze if we unified with that central spark, which is the cause of all evolution, all advancement, and which is the cause of everything we know or everything we would ever attain. So, big eye opener that even when we are not animals or obviously human beings, that we do carry light. We do have that spark. And it makes sense. Because if God is everything, mm-hmm. if spirit is everything, if everything is one, and God is spirit, why wouldn't everything have light?
Yeah.
It makes so much sense. So my new revolution, my revelation and spiritual advancement. So we talked about the colors and the aura, and we talked about it has red, orange, yellow, green, blue. So red is energy, strength, anger, sexuality, passion, fear. And we could talk about these as we come back the next round. And maybe what they mean. Then we went on to the psychics, which is another experience of spirituality. If I would only keep mine. So page 381. So Ernest Holmes in the Science of Mind book said, we all have psychic capacities, but they should never be forced, for it is only when the subjective comes to the surface while we are in a perfectly normal state that a normal psychic power is produced. To lose the self-consciousness in order to let the subjective come through is never good or right, and furthermore is likely to be destructive. The psychic capacity is normal only to the extent that it can be used while in a self-conscious state. So so what I got from this is that with the psychic powers, it's more on the subjective level as opposed to the allness objective part of who we are. So as it becomes more subjective, it becomes closer to a person's perception and more impressions are made psychically. So that's why I would have loved to hear a little bit from Brittany, but
Bethany.
But that's we'll have to talk about that another time. So many people are annoyed that by their psychic powers sometimes because they constantly see things the average person does not, and they always continually get impressions as they move around the world because of that subjective, so close to human form thing. And so these people are very near to the subjectivity. And it bothers them. They can easily be healed and should be. All right? So that's one part of the psychic capacity. There is, however, a normal psychic capacity, and some are able to discern mental causes with perfect ease. So Jesus was one of them. Jesus was able to tell the woman that she had been married 5 times and that the man with whom she was living was not her husband. He read that out of her thoughts, but he did it while in an objective state, for he was able to consciously and objectively exercise his subjective faculties. So he said, this is perfectly normal, but to let go of the volition and choosing faculties, which alone constitute individuality and become immersed in subjective, is very dangerous. So, for example, don't go out of your way to be disturbing to another person's will or volition, as we call it in the Science of Mind. But it is actually an experience of spirituality as well. It has to be. It's in the all oneness. And then light. So I'm going to go to 183 in this book. What time we have? Page 182. Okay. So thought, which is built upon a realization of the divine presence, has the power to neutralize negative thoughts, to erase it, just as light has the power to overcome darkness, not by combating the darkness, but by being exactly what it is, light. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So light is light. Light is not the opposite of darkness. Light is an entity in itself. Light is God, light is spirit. And this is what is seen, this is what is reflected in everything, in everyone. And light is a sign that, I don't know if it's a sign, but light is just who we are. We are light. And if we are saying that we are spirit and we are one with God, then we have to embrace that we are one with light as well. And being light is a quality of God. It's God. It's who God is, light. All right. And then 332, page 332 and 4. The higher the sense of truth, the greater will be the realization of the uniqueness of individual character and personality. The real self is God-given and cannot be denied. It is the place where God comes to a point of individualized and personalized expression. I am that light. Mm-hmm. I am that personalized expression of God. I am that individualized person. I am the light of the world. So there it is. We talked about light. We talked about psychic qualities. We talked about aura. We talked about subjective tendencies, but I'm going to just read a little bit of subjective tendency before I close off. The choices each of us makes heads us in a certain direction, causing us to cross paths with people, places, and the things that correspond to our choices, whether or not we knew we had a choice when we made it. So if we choose to fear, we head towards a fearful experience. Mm-hmm. If we choose to love, we head towards more of that. The choice is always ours. So the heading towards is a definite tendency of ours. When we are self-aware, we know the tendency our belief is taking. So this is coming back to psychics in a way. So it talks also about when developed psychics can help us track these tendencies. That is one of the beautiful things of a psychic, in terms of, okay, where are we in terms of our choices to love, and as a result, choices to manifest bigger, better things that would be in alignment with our well-being. All right. So that's sort of about the subjective part of it, because we are interacting and we're in a world with so many and we are doing our thing and all that. That's where that comes up. And the last one is intuition, which I completely forgot. So intuitive awareness is not the same thing as psychic awareness. While psychic deals with the contents of the subjective states of mind, intuition is about the unity of all life. It's like seeing everything at once. People who experience intuition are generally called mystics again. We are all mystics. Intuition is never about people, places, or things. If it were, it would be exploring multiplicity rather than unity. So all hunches, precognitions, sudden inspirations, etc., are conscious ideas of our own subjective impressions. So as intuition, as people with intuition, and I think, it is a special part of who we are and a special part of our spirituality, which I'm not seeing my extra page where I had my intuition written down. But intuition is definitely about another aspect of how people interpret God, how people interpret the world. And so these are some aspects of our spiritual unfolding, our world, and just individual aspects of where we are in our spirituality. Mm-hmm. And so it is.
And so it is.
Thank you, Gail. Yeah.